God and Heavenly Father, thank you for being always there for us. Thank you for being our Savior and our Redeemer. Thank you for being our physician and healer, our provider. Thank you for fighting our every battle. Thank you for casting out all fears. Thank you for giving us peace with the understanding of all things on this earth that only you have control over. I pray that your Holy Spirit give me the words of life, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be sanctioned by your Holy Spirit for the salvation of our souls, the hope of our life, the blessing thereof. As you impart your blessing to us, may you help us, Lord, to pass those blessings to everyone that we can. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us open our Bible to the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and 14. We have been talking about the fear of other is torment and destructive. You know, just right now my brother was briefing me on the situation in Egypt and the great many fear that is causing many Christians to immigrate from Egypt or seek immigration from Egypt, fearing the consequences. Just last week, a young man was walking with his fiancée in Egypt, and three Muslim extremists came and tried to tell her to go home. And when the young man told them, you know, that is none of your business, they decided to quarrel with him and they stabbed him to death. Okay? Imagine that. Imagine that now. And this guy was a Muslim. He was not even a Christian. So three Muslims decided to impose their own version of faith in Allah upon this young man who is also a Muslim. And when he said no, they killed him. So imagine how the Christians feel. So right now there are lots of commotion. Now the question is, should we be motivated to live, move, and find our being by fear? Fear of man has torment. You know, crisis and destruction always been present on earth. And people suffer and die every day because of their own sin or the sins of others, or because of just a touch of Satan. So this is here to stay with us on earth regardless of where we are. You know, there are more people who die in the United States every year, more than any other country. Many crises happen in this country because of sicknesses and diseases, because of accidents of all kinds. It's just amazing. I believe with all my heart, even though I travel in other countries, sometimes I feel the chances of you getting injured in this country is much more likely than getting injured in other countries.
I believe that.
Freedom has been abused and the devil is running rampant. So absolutely there is no such a thing as a safe place.
That's true.
Okay, there is no such a thing as a safe place. I was driving during 4th of July at night going home, and right there close to my home on this street, I looked and I saw a flying firecracker coming and dropping right in the bushes in front of a house.
Oh, no.
And you can see the spark going in. So I was hoping that it dies on arrival. Mm-hmm. And I slowed down and I pulled over and suddenly I began to see smoke.
Oh, no.
And I was hoping that that would be the end of it, but in seconds, the smoke began to enlarge very quickly.
Oh.
And I waited and I saw the people coming out of their house and everyone is frantic. And I immediately called 911. By that time, fire was breaking.
Oh my goodness.
And you know, it is quite amazing. Quite amazing. These people were sitting in their own home. They are not responsible for this flying bullet. It just came from someone else who is violating the law. Says, no fireworks in the city, and some people listen, others just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So risking our life is always present. The question is, are we living by faith or by fear? It's amazing that I was so tired when I was visiting people I was supposed to be leaving earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord kept me for that moment and that time.
See?
Just to be there when it happened right in front of my eyes. And what is so amazing that
One of the residents of this home, when I came close to comfort them, to let them know that I already called, they did not have the time to call. And a disabled person in a wheelchair was just pushing, being pushed out of that home. So I thank God Almighty, in about 2 minutes, I could no longer stand in the street. That's how fast the smoke covered. And I put my car about 300 or 400 feet away. And I still could not stand, and I had to run, get in my car, and move in order to be able to breathe. So danger is present. And you know, here's what is sad. We do not know God in truth unless something traumatic happened to
That's
us.
True.
And do you know that we can avoid lots of trauma in our lives when we recognize the source of our existence? You know, your work is not going to become that important. Nothing on this earth will become that important, but there will be something to be the most important in your life. Your relationship with Jesus. Because that's what makes us or breaks us. Every child, every adult, it doesn't matter who they are, poor or rich, will go through trauma on this earth. But we can go through it like the Hebrew boys. We can go through the fire with Jesus on board, and nothing shall anywise harm us, or we can go in our own. And you know, that breaks the theory of all of those who love to glamour to be atheists. Whatever you want, the truth is not going to change. You're a human being living on this earth. There is evil happening every day as well as goodness. If your lack of faith in God will deliver from evil, that's your decision. That's all right. God has given you the power of choice, which we all know never worked and will never work. And that is what we're talking about here. You know, one of the reasons atheists do not believe in God because of fear. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? They fear if it is true, then they have to make changes in their lives. And they fear the changes because their mind is clouded to think that the changes are bad for them. So they decide, I think I can be bigger than God. If I say he doesn't exist, then he doesn't exist. I exist. Therefore, I am God. And nothing on earth will harm me. Isn't that delusional? Completely delusional. And I'm glad that somewhere, someone in our families introduced us to Jesus. Every human being will go through moments of doubt, and that's normal. Every human being will be going through time of great questioning. Why God allow this? Why doesn't he allow this? Why God is not answering yes always? That is perfectly normal. But where these questions lead you is where your life is going to end. It will either end on the side of Jesus or it will end on the side of the enemy. That is the fact of our existence on earth. And it's a choice. So we have been examining the story of God's people. There is no question, we know the story of the Exodus. Even those who don't believe in Jesus historically believe that this story took place because it is engraved on all of the monuments in Egypt. You know, when you go, you see the story of the Exodus on the walls, and what's just kind of amazing. So what happened in Egypt? What happened in Egypt is true existence of evil. The people of God for 430 years were enslaved, and they suffered great injustice. They were beaten for the food. You would like to go to work for that? You know, the slaves in this country also live that way. You become enslaved and you work just for your food. And if you don't, you are beaten up. So the people of Israel have experienced evil for 430 years until the Lord said, enough is enough. There are some people there who are still crying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And therefore the Lord sent Moses down there and Aaron. And the people of Israel have experienced the power of God's goodness toward them in the 10 plagues that came upon Egypt. A great witness of what God is able and willing to do for our lives if we just turn to him, just the way we are. They were not righteous when they called upon God. But his righteous love was sufficient to help them. They were not knowledgeable of all theology. They just decided, okay, we will believe when we see. So 10 plagues. gives them sufficient evidence, and we know the story of the Exodus. Over 1 million Israelites escaped the plagues of Egypt and was given the promise to the promised land. And they came out, and because their nature and their character and their suspicions and their doubts was embedded down deep in the heart and mind, even though they see the pillar of fire by night, and even though they see the clouds by day that lead them through the wilderness of sin, and even though they saw God splitting the Red Sea to help them cross and seeing the enemy falling behind them, I don't know how many evidence do we need to see in our lives in order to believe that God is Lord.
Right.
And this is the problem. It's actually a state of mental illness. And that state of mental illness does not just deal with God. It's actually a deal with everybody else. We end up looking at other people exactly the same way we look at God. If God is not the author of all the blessings, that no one else is. So we develop the attitude of ingratitude until we recognize that we are not in control. It's unfortunately that when we experience suffering and loss and trauma, suddenly we begin to count who is there who was responsible for our blessings. And it's quite a problem. After they saw all of these, they still did not believe and they still murmured. Pretty spoiled, isn't it? And I spoke about that before. We can spoil all of our blessings rotten when we don't count them and show gratitude for them. It is ironic that every morning we actually do not look at the millions of blessings. We always look at what we want. What is it that I want today to satisfy that ever-hungering soul of mine? Friends, toys, games, sports, beer, whatever people go after every day. What can I do today for fun to satisfy the hunger of my soul? We don't stop down to count the blessings. Do you know when we count the blessings, they actually become safe and secure and they can only increase? And not just that. When we count the blessings, it affects our attitude toward life and toward others. As a matter of fact, when you count the blessings, you will know who is the author of all the blessings. Who gave me sight? I did. Who gave me hearing?
God.
Who gave me everything that I am?
God.
You know, I'm good for one thing. I can mess it all up by my own decisions and by my own hand. Is that true? So I'm good for destruction. God is the source of all good gifts. The people of Israel could not count the blessings. And here is an incident. After all of their murmuring for some time now, the Lord promised them, listen, I understand your nature. I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to be merciful. And more than that, Moses, please pick 12 men. A man from every tribe of Israel. A man that is highly honored and respected by his tribe. We're going to use these 12 men to go and spy out the promised land which I promised your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Did God promise us blessings to come?
Yes.
Eternal life is the greatest blessing, correct? But he also promised a long life on this earth to those who love God and those called according to his purpose. He promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He promised to be our savior daily from our sins, from Satan. He promised to be our physician and healer, our provider, the bread of life, the water of life. The Bible is full of promises. But what is so strange, we whine and complain every day because we forget his promises. And we forget to count the many blessings we already received due to his promises. It is an attitude of gratitude that never makes us prosper. It is the cause of all of our failures in relationship, in every aspect of life. We don't count the blessings. Always reinventing new desires in our heart to satisfy whatever is never satisfied in us. So the people of Israel murmured, and Moses came and told the people of Israel, let us pick 12 men. I want you to go down there, look at the land to see if it is good. Look at the crops to see if it is really as God said. A land of milk and honey. Look at the herd to see if it's fatted herd. And I want to look at the people to see whether they are great or small, mighty or weak. I want you to go down there and look at the cities to see if it is fortified or it's easy to take. Why did God tell Moses to tell them that? You know, the Lord could have told Moses, there is absolutely no evil there. Is that what he told him? No. Moses wanted them to go to see what is good and what is evil. What is possible and what is impossible. And the 12 spies went, as we read last week, and they could not carry the cluster of grapes. Two of them had to carry it. Boy, that must have been a sight. Never seen grapes that big. You know, in Egypt, up to now, sometimes the grapes are that big.
Wow.
It is true. In the academy, we had a vine there that give you grapes that big.
Wow.
And when you let it just arrive, you can pick it. It is very juicy.
Okay.
But I don't know, during this time, it was bigger than that. Two people had to carry it all the way down from Ashkelon, all the way down to the wilderness. And they got them pomegranates, and they got them everything. And here's the problem. When they came to give the report, what is ironic, that they counted the blessings quickly. They said, it is true. The land is overflowing with milk and honey. Look at the grapes. Look at the pomegranates. But immediately after that, they began to enumerate the curses. They forgot what? The promises of God. They began to say, no, no, we have seen these guys. They are so giants. We were like grasshoppers next to them. The cities are so fortified. It is impossible to go through it. Don't we do that sometimes?
Yes.
Daily? We make things so complicated as if God cannot do it. Why? Because we look at that God. That God cannot do it. And that is where the problem is. They looked at the God of self. Mm-hmm. And they said, we cannot beat them. They will swallow us up. For a moment, they forgot all of the deliverance, the signs, the wonders, the plagues, the manna. They forgot everything. They can only think of one thing. I, me, and myself. And I, me, and myself put us where we belong. It diminishes to nothing. So, fear of man have torment. I want to visit a part of that story quickly before I introduce the new part. And I want to go down to chapter 13. And verse 30. We have here the pessimist. 10 of them were pessimists. And that is kind of ironic because in this world, even in the church today, among all believers, people always dwell on the negative, on the impossibilities, because they view it through their own insight, not through the eyes of God. Jesus so often told the disciples, what is impossible to man is only possible to God. And I believe that. I believe that with all my heart and mind and soul. It is impossible to make me who I am. It was only possible to God to create me and make me who I am. And the same to all of you. So here is, now we're going to look at the two positive spies. Two people who did not have the torment of the fear of man. And they have told us why they don't. And we will see today something serious. Okay? Because unfortunately, we are motivated to make good decisions if we are threatened. Isn't that true? If we are threatened, if our life is threatened, we are prone to make good decisions and quickly. And the Lord will tell us exactly, if we continue to act like the 10 spies, what should you expect in your life? What should I expect in my life? The 10 spies committed 3 serious problems. But let us look at Caleb for a second here and Joshua. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Look at that. Ten are talking and singing the gloom. Two now are saying, the land is wonderful. We are given the power and the promise. Let us go and we will take it all at once. How could that happen? Same people go to the same place, see the same thing, experience the same thing. Ten are saying, doom day. And two are saying, glorious day. It is the Spirit inside us that make us who we are. And the Spirit is guided by the power of truth or the power of lie. By complete trust in the love of God and His Word, or complete trust in the love of self and trust in self. Isn't that strange? Of course, if I asked you, as I asked myself, how much do you trust that you have the answers to your problems? How much you trust that you have an answer to anybody in your family's problems? Now, logically and rationally, we say we don't. But in all of our decisions, we behave like we do. We're unable to sort the God of self from the true God, the creator of all things. A root of conflict inside us, and therefore we have conflict always with others. So Caleb is saying, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Man, where did he get this courage from? How did he see it so in the affirmative? Let's do it now. Faith in the love and the word of God. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." The voice of doom again. I am a God, and that God will not be able to really take over the enemy. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitant thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Doom day. Impossible. I can never become a Christian. I can never become a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the devil gave me all of these giants in my life. These are all of my desires and wants. And I see big giants standing in the way. And after all, I will never become righteous. So why should I try? And if you think of relationship, it's the same thing. We want to change everybody else to what our desire permits. Mission impossible. We are creating giants in our lives when relationship is really simple. It depends on what's in your heart, right? And what are you after? What's in your heart and what are you after? So here it is. Now the situation is very difficult. Just imagine Moses and Aaron. They went through enough hard time. Moses never wanted the job. You know, nowadays, people spend millions of dollars to become senators, governors, presidents. Millions of dollars on ads. They want it very badly. Here is a true leader who was a shepherd that never wanted a job. Do you know, one of the fundamental success in any position of leadership is that desire. There is no way I can do it. There is no way I can do it, Lord. He says, people have their own host of issues and problems, and I don't have all the knowledge or all the experience to really lead these people from this situation to that situation. Humility. Meekness. And here it is. Moses and Aaron are standing, and now you have 10 people, highly respected by their tribes, telling them a different story. Mainly they are saying this: it is a very horrible condition. Don't listen to Caleb and Joshua. Don't listen to Moses and Aaron. They really want to kill us and our children. Now, if you are among these people, whom will you believe and what will you do? Close to 2 million people.
Wow.
And probably the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Ephraim, which Caleb and Joshua came from, probably many of them believed Caleb and Joshua. But the rest, with the rest of the tribes, believe the other. It's going to cause serious problems, because that happens in families today. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and those who believe in themselves. And it's also in any friendship, in any workplace, and in churches. You know, I sit on board meetings. I always feel so startled out of my mind. We preach the gospel, we have choirs, we have Bible studies, we have prayer meetings. What is so crazy sometimes in churches, when the board meeting get together and they pray and ask the Lord to guide them, mm-hmm. then suddenly they are not leaning on the word of God at all in council. Mm. And they began to speak like these folks. Giants in the field. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. I'm a great businessman. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to this. And the word of God does not take its power over decisions. And therefore, we have conflict in churches. There are those who say, we believe in God like these folks. And the majority of it did not believe in the word of God. That's the very reason why we have denominations. And there is not one denomination or one church that have it together right. Yet, they preach and say they got it together right, and those who are members of their congregation will be going to heaven, and those who are going somebody else, somewhere else, we have a problem about discovering who we are. So let us see what happened after that, so you will know, and you can make the assessment. You don't need to be a professional counselor to see the difference between when you go with that spirit, what's going to happen, when you go with this spirit, what is going to happen. And all the congregation lifted up, that is chapter 14 now, and all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. They got their hopes up when the spies went for 40 days. All the hopes of the tribe were so up, and then the spies come back and they tell them it is bad news. And so they wept. Why they wept? They wept because they can only see great losses and suffering. They left their homes in Egypt. Now they're living in the wilderness. And they cannot get to Canaan. God must have brought them here just to make them suffer and die. And not just that. When frustration and hurts grow, it becomes fear. When fear is not resolved, it becomes anger. When anger is not resolved, it becomes violence. So let us see if that is the process. So they cried all night in frustration and fears with hurts. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in that wilderness. Mm. Now, when we reach that point of fear, we always would like to transject and transfer and project our state on someone else who is able to take it. And in this condition, they blamed Moses and Aaron, as if Moses and Aaron put leashes around their necks and dragged them out of Egypt. Did they do that? They invited them. They chose to come. And it wasn't that bad after all. They were blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. Now that they are not going to get what they want. Look at that. Now I'm not going to get what I want. I'm going to hold you both responsible for how I feel. That's how serious it is. When you lose your spiritual focus, you will lose your mental focus. And then your physical well-being will feel threatened and you will become very afraid. And when you look at yourself for answer, you will become much more frustrated and you will reach a deadlock. Therefore, you will become angry. And when you become angry, you have to take it on somebody because you are too coward to take it on yourself. Someone else has to be responsible for how I feel. And then they looked at these strong leaders and said, you know, I think we can do the man. Is that really a resolve? So they began to murmur, but they wouldn't murmur against God directly. They were afraid of the consequences. They thought, if we murmur against his leaders, maybe we will get through him. So let us see what happened here to these two men who were also human beings. And wherefore has the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? You know, fear for life. Fear for life. Now we and our wives and our children, everyone is endangered. And therefore we have to respond to that. And they are talking to Moses and Aaron and reasoning with them in a very harsh way. You made a mistake by convincing us to come here. God made a major mistake, and I don't think he was truthful with us. You see that? His promise is not true. Otherwise, all of these men would have come back with good reports. And so they continued to say, we need to go back to Egypt. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. You know, fear always makes us comfortable to resort to our old places, our old friends, our old techniques that God delivered us from. I have seen men and women, young and old, God delivering them from very toxic relationships in the world. And coming to the church and getting baptized and becoming members and giving a testimony of how God delivered them. And when they felt a need for relationships and did not get it as quickly, what did they do? I know where to find it. I know where to find it. The internet now is loaded with places. And the clubs and every place is loaded with places where Satan is saying, I told you. Like the people of Israel, God's people want a quick fix to satisfy their impetuous desire. And when they don't get God to play it their way, they decided to go the old way. A very serious problem, because Jesus warned of that. He said, you know, if I deliver from Satan, and your heart becomes vacant again, and you desire to go back to your old ways, he said, 7 more demons will come and possess your heart. It's not because he designed it that way. It's because that is the way. If it's not just an issue of lying and promiscuity, it could now be alcohol, the demon of alcohol, the demon of drug, the demons of everything else will come and possess you where it's going to be very hard. And Jesus said, usually, the end of that person is worse than his beginning. We often read in the story of Paul, who was once Saul. We see the glorious transformation and how Paul stayed his course till the end. But we never heard of what happens to people once they have been transformed, like the Apostle Paul returned back to their old ways. We didn't see it in the Bible, but we saw it in our lifetime. And I see it all the time. The people of Israel is a great example of that. So let us see what happened now. They have refused the blessings, and now they have committed another serious sin. It is one thing that you find it difficult to walk the straight and narrow path of life and blessing. That is okay. Every Christian must go through that. It is another thing to commit blasphemy against God and to discourage others from walking in the straight, narrow path of life and blessing. I'm going to say this again. Keep this in mind. Because Jesus warned about those who speak against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but those who blaspheme against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. What does that mean? You know, when I'm struggling with sin, I go to the Lord and I tell the Lord about my sin and my struggle. And Lord, save me daily. Continue to change me. I know I have been changed. And I know there's some work to be done. But I don't want my sin to ever be a cause of stumbling or hurt to anybody else. At that time, I am still on the straight and narrow path of life and blessing. But if I decided the ways of the Lord are unjust, He created me, and now He's asking me to be this and do that and do this and do that, and I go and tell other people and stumble them and also discouraging them from faith in God, now I have rejected the fountain of living water. I have rejected God. I have rejected His word. And not just that, I have chosen to be an instrument to the enemy. Now Satan is using me to discourage other people, and that is really what's happening here. And because it becomes so toxic that God had to allow the natural discourse of sin to take place. And let us see what is going to happen in the rest of the story. Continued here, and now they said, we're going to make a captain to take us to Egypt. Forget about Moses and Aaron. Then Moses and Aaron fall on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. What an act of humility. They did not fall on their faces because they were afraid of the people of Israel.
No.
They were so broken, so helpless, so powerless. They don't know how to deal with the situation. They fall prostrate before the Lord. They ask for divine intervention, divine presence. Okay, Lord, we told you from the beginning we are unfit to lead this people to the promised land. But you promised that you will be with us. Here we are again. Not the first, not the second. That was the 10th time. I just want you to know how God is long-suffering. 10 times they murmur against God and they discourage one another from following after Him. So Moses and Aaron went straight before the Lord, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Here it is, Caleb and Joshua joined Moses and Aaron. And they also humbled themselves before the Lord. It's an act of humility to rend your clothes. You say, what is wrong with you? We don't see it the way you see it. What is wrong? Did you forget all of these miracles that God has done for us in the past? What is wrong with you? And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the Lord which we passed through to search it, the land which we passed through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. Here it is. They're not afraid of the people of Israel. They are not tormented like the people of Israel. They were completely unafraid. And they joined Aaron and Joshua. It said, it is not that difficult. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Reminding them of the theology. Reminding them of the promises of God. If He delight in us, it is a given. All is ours. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. You know, that was an ultimate last warning from the Lord who sent His Holy Spirit as Moses and Aaron were falling on their faces praying, God raised Joshua to speak to the people of Israel the final promise and the final warning. And that can come to us through people in our family. It can come up through pastors, counselors. God will always raise someone to give us that final warning. Don't rebel against God. Don't rebel against God, because He will give you to your own way. And He will not permit you to stumble somebody else who is struggling to do His will. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Twice He tells them, don't be afraid. God delight in us. Don't rebel against His promises. Don't be afraid. Don't you want to watch and see another miracle? Don't be afraid. You know, how could four people have such a spirit and the rest of the crowds have the other spirit? That must have been an overwhelming thing. You know, I don't know if I have the endurance to be in such an environment myself. I don't think I'll last long. You know, I love to be there and help people anytime God calls me to help people. But you know, I do not stand long when people are stubborn in their own wrong ways. You know why? Listen to this and keep it in your mind. If you listen to a victim for some time without a resolve, you will become one. Did you hear that? If you allowed yourself to listen to a victim for some time without a resolve, you will become one. The Bible said evil communication corrupts the best of manners. Therefore, I do not stand long before victims if they are determined and persistent to remain victims. Because victims like to victimize everybody else. If everybody else believe like them, act like them, behave like them, they are safe, they think. That was the condition of the people of Israel. Then spies decided, we are victims and we're going to become victims. All of the crowds of Israel decided to become victims, except four. So if you listen to some people who are doubting God, who are trying to, listen, this is the way I am, I'm not going to change. And if God does not give you a resolve, you have a decision to make. Either to become a victor or a victim. It is very sad that most of the people of Israel chose to be victims because of faith in themselves, not faith in God. Because love of self, not the true love of God. So here it is, Joshua is saying, come on, let us go. But all the congregation, did you hear that? That's quite sad now. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Here it is. I am hurting because I didn't get what I want. I am frustrated because it seemed to be mission impossible. Now I am very afraid that I and my family and my children will suffer severe consequences. Our life is in danger. Therefore, I'm going to get very upset. And even if I got upset, it did not work. I'm going to become violent. And violence may not exhibit itself against other people. Violence could be against self. Violence is a spirit that is within the children of disobedience. And that's why people become very violent and use drugs and go and do some crazy music and listen to crazy. That's violence. When I was working as a machinist, I couldn't stand the music they were playing. So it's Metallica. Crazy. It's not just the kind of pitches that this guy plays, it's the words. Right. And I couldn't work in the machine shop. And I would talk with them during lunchtime, and you know they are working. You know? And they can't wait to go home and got their pack of beer, and they're talking about the next concert and the next concert. And you know, I had to do something. I cannot survive. I talked to them, I smiled, it didn't work. And finally I had to talk to the management and to the president, and they decided no more loud music in the company. And then they began to monitor performance with music. And finally, no music at all. Because people who act like that, they were causing lots of problems with other members of the company. Their temperaments, their emotions, out of control. Lots of violence there that is under control. It's just amazing. So here it is. Violence can be against oneself before it becomes against somebody else, because of the spirit that dwells in us. So here it is. They wanted to kill them. Now here's the question. Is that a solution?
No.
Is that a solution that will resolve their fear and give them prosperity? Let us go ahead and kill Moses and Aaron, Joshua and Caleb. Who desired to do that? Satan. Because now this is the only hope for all the congregation of Israel. Will God permit that? No. And because the people of Israel do not listen and heed counsel unless they see something extraordinary, God appeared before them all. And then they began to think, whoa, he is in control. Do we dare hurting the servants of God? So here is what happened. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? What a question. How long? They lost their mind. Absolutely complete darkness in their own mind and heart. They cannot remember any of the signs, any of the wonders, any of these miracles that I already done in their lives. They don't believe me. I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they are. Now, that's a question that often people ask. So God is saying, if you don't do it my way, I will destroy you? No. Here's what God is saying. He always said that. And from the beginning when he elected them, he said, I set before you two ways, the way of life and blessing and the way of death and cursing. Choose life that thou and thy seed may live. I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Mm-hmm. So, if they have rejected the ways of God and the ways of life and blessing, what is left for them? There is one thing that God never done and will never do. He will never impose his decision upon us. He said, if they really don't want the promised land, then they are not going to get the promised land. He's giving them their desire, isn't it? If they really believe that they want to go back to Egypt, I will let them go back to Egypt. But what is going to happen to them? They have chosen what? Death and cursing. This means I will not intervene to save them anymore. So when we rebel against God and he is long-suffering with us, God never punishes anybody. We choose to punish ourselves, our families, our friends, when we abandon Christ. That is it. So the Lord is telling Moses, if they don't want the blessings of life, if they don't want my protection, if they don't believe I can really give them the land of milk and honey, I'm going to give them the desire of their hearts. And what a loving, compassionate, true leader Moses is. Listen to Moses. I tell you, that's why the Bible called him the meekest man. I don't know, I would have lost it a long time ago. I would have lost it long, long time ago, right in Egypt.
Yeah, me too.
I wouldn't have gotten out of these people there. Mm-hmm. Moses been through it now 10 times. And this is not the first time they wanted to kill Moses. And the Lord is saying, all right, I will disinherit them. This means I'm going to give them their own ways. Mm-hmm. And they will suffer through it because they insist on it. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, Lord. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among the people, and thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. So Moses is telling the Lord, I'm worried about the heathen now and what they're going to say. Moses is concerned about also the heathen believing in him. All of the heathen know how God led the people of Israel with 10 plagues and how he led them by day and by night, and there's fear in the heart, and many of them converted. Now, if thou shalt kill all these people as one man, then the nation which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring the people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore he said, he hath slain them in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. So Moses is saying that all of the heathen will believe that you are not the true God. Mm-hmm. That you are unable to keep your promise. Mm-hmm. And Satan is the author of that doubt.
That's right.
Moses was concerned much more about the name of Jehovah among all nations, not just Israel. He never said that these people are nice. He never said that these people are obedient. He acknowledged their problem, but he said, for the sake of the heathen, Lord, slow down, please, for my sake. Slow down. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. This is another issue that is very true. You know, it's we hear about cocaine babies, right? Mm-hmm. Parents did what they're not supposed to do when they were conceiving the child. And now the iniquity of the parents is being visited in the children. Now, be careful. It does not mean that the children will have to suffer the consequences of the parents. You know, recall the man who was born blind. 100% there was some kind of genetic deformities in the parents. We don't know what it is. But the man was born blind and he was given to Jesus and said, all right, why is that man being blind? Was it his sin or the sins of his parents? And what did Jesus say? Neither one. But that was for the glory of God. We evaluate good and evil in all wrong ways. We evaluate what is good for everybody in all wrong ways, in actually a self-centered way. The Lord saying, as heaven is far from the earth, so are my ways from your ways and my thoughts from your thoughts. So even though parents and grandparents make major mistakes and it affects the children, but God is able to turn every sorrow into joy.
Right.
And we have many stories in the Bible, and we have the story of Fanny Crosby. She was not born blind. She became blind at the age of 7, 8. And even though she was blinded, God has given her the powerful gift of music. She can compose music and words. And no one written more hymns that are sung in all denominations today than Fanny Crosby. Pick up any hymnals from any denomination and you will see her name there. She lived blind. And at the end of her old age, she lived all the way till late 80s. During that time too. What a blessing. And in her last evangelistic meeting, the evangelist before all the congregation said, oh Fanny, isn't it quite a shame that God has given you all of these gifts and did not give you your sight back. You know what you say? God forbid. It has been a great gift for me to be blind.
Yes.
And the greatest next gift, that when my eyes
wow.
are open, I shall behold the face of my King.
Face to face.
You see, we who see and value the gift of sight always look at someone else who doesn't have what we've got as, what a shame, where is God in all of this?
Exactly.
Because we don't have the experience. So every affliction that the children bear because of their parents' decision can work an eternal rich and weight of glory to these children if they get to know the love of Jesus and the knowledge of his name and apply it in their lives. And then Moses asking, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. There is something mysterious to me, but it's always true. When a faithful leader and servant of God, it could be a father, it could be a mother, it could be a brother and sister in the church, it could be a pastor, it could be someone who is closely connected to the heart of God. The prayer of this faithful individual availeth much with God. Do you know, many of our family members who are not yet dead because of the sins are still alive today because of your intercession and interceding on their behalf? Do you know that where God placed you, whether it's at work, at school, in your community, in your family, for you to become that Moses? I never stop praying for my family members every day, minimum twice a day. If I engage in other private prayers during the day, they're also in my prayer.
Right.
And I pray for you, I pray for your family, I pray for everyone God brings my way to pray for. And you will see the great results of that when you and I get to heaven. How many people will be in heaven that you did not even meet?
Mm.
You think Moses knew all the congregation of Israel?
No.
He did not. But here he is pleading with God, not to reward him according to their iniquity, but to pardon and to forgive for his name's sake. I'm going to conclude by the response of Christ, and I'm going to finish the rest of the chapter next week. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Now be very careful of this. God forgave them. He said, I'm not going to hold it against him at all.
Mm.
But he's going to still give them the desire of their hearts. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that? I will forgive them. This means I will not permit them to go back to be in the hand of the enemy. But if they don't want to go to the promised land, I have given all creation the power of choice. I forgive them and I will shield them because of you. And I will still keep my promise of the promised land of Canaan. But if they don't want to make it there, I will not give them the blessing. Here it is. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. This means the Egyptian, the heathen, the Israelites, I promise you, Moses, that my glory will shine upon all nations, and all nations will have the opportunity to believe and to know that I am God. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their father, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Did you see that? You don't want the blessing? All right. God is not going to impose it upon you. Forgiveness is granted. Now you still have the gift of salvation and eternal life. But as to the earthly blessing that you do not want, God will never impose it upon you because you trust it in yourself, in your power, and you refuse to trust his love and his word. Now, the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. The Lord is telling Moses now, tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Now the Lord is disclosing to Moses, you still have to keep marching, but be careful. The Amalekites and the Canaanites are on the hills, and I don't want you to go through the valley. I want you to take the people of Israel by the side of the sea to avoid them. Now listen to this. So you see how God is working. How is God is working to save us even from ourselves? And how sometimes we are determined to go our own way. So the Lord is telling Moses, here is the key and here is the test to the people of Israel. I forgive them and I will try to save them, but it has to be their decision. Listen to this. He said, Moses, the enemies are there. Don't go through. Go by the Red Sea. And here it is. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ear, so will I do it to you. Is that what you wanted? You did not want to go to the giants? I have promised to keep my promise. I'm going to give you that desire. You are not going to make it to the promised land. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Listen to this. So you can understand that God is not a tyrant. Said, you don't believe and you don't want, I am not going to impose neither belief nor my desire upon you. Doubtless, ye shall not come into the land concerning which I have sware to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, here it is, look at the mercy of God now. Look at the mercy of God. They were so frightened that their wives and their children will be killed. He said, you made the decision so willingly for yourself. Therefore, from 20 up, all of you who murmured and did not believe and did not want to go to the promised land, you aren't going to go to the promised land. That wilderness will be your habitation, and that is where you're going to die. But your children, listen to this. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. See, the Lord does not make the children suffer the consequences of the parents, unless the children choose to. He said, no, I made the promise, they will enter in, but you won't. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness, which is really sad. The parents delayed the entrance to the promised land. The children suffer parental indiscretion for 40 years, but God still kept his promise. And I'm going to share with you next week what happened next, a horrible story. Because when people read the story, the Lord said that they're going to die as carcasses in the wilderness. He did say that, but he didn't do it. They did. and you will see in the rest of the chapter how they chose to kill themselves. Remember what God told Moses? Don't go in the middle of the valley. Go by the Red Sea. You're going to hear the story. They still want to make it right with God with their own foolishness. And they said to Moses, you don't know what you're talking about. We're going to go to this, guys, and we're going to take them on.
Wow.
And they went in the middle, and their carcasses fell in the ground. They chose their own fate. What did we learn from this story? Israel's problem was not the overestimation of their enemy, but the underestimation of God. Be very wary about that. That is the devil number key number one, in getting us to really doubt the promises and the power of God over all of our lives and over all concerns. Their problem was not so much that they experienced fear. Fear is in us. We're going to experience that every day. But that they trusted their feeble powers in contrast with the enemy and turned away from God when they were afraid. Major problems. Major problems. You know, our life would be so peaceful, so quiet and calm even amidst the storm, if we believe that God is for us. If we believe that God is over all and above us. And if God be for us, no power can stand against us, but the decision is really ours. May the Holy Spirit of Christ always remind us of these stories. God has given us the power of choice. He did not say you must believe in me by force. Neither will he accept any worship of him but by love. If we accept his love, if we accept his word and believe in it and apply it in our life, especially when we fall into temptation, when we fear anything, if we turn to God immediately, and if we ask the Lord to remind us and to encourage us by his word, we will still make it to the promised land. More than that, the blessings of life that he had promised is ours. Only if we want it. And if only if we go after it. Not our ways. Be careful. Not our ways. His way. And if we are struggling with his way, let us talk to Jesus about it. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is life. This is my earnest desire and prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand together. Our precious God and Heavenly Father, we commit our hearts, our mind, our body and souls, love, will, life and purpose, all of our struggle with sin, all of our fears and concerns and worries over everything on this earth, spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, emotionally, academically, financially, politically and legally. We have concerns that can prompt and trigger our fears always. Lord, we hide in Thee. Your love is true. Your word is true. We trust none but your love and your word to guide us through the straight and narrow path of life and blessing. May your Holy Spirit, your Spirit alone, dwell in our heart and mind and bodies and never leave us all the days of our life on earth. May we become your holy temple. And may you fight our every battle against sin, self, Satan, and the world. Help us not to fall into the sin of rebellion against your holy love. But save us, O Lord, by the power of your might from the snares of Satan, and may you be and forever Lord over our lives, over our families, over the church and the affairs of the world, until you take us so safely to the eternal promised land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.